Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you here today. Happy Monday to all of you. Thanks for joining us here. You're tuning into WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune into his frequency here today. This radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. I want to thank my associate pastor, Darren Solana, for that last sermon, which you guys heard here on Thursday and Friday. We're going through the book of Revelation here on the radio, and we're going through the book of Acts here at the church, verse by verse, on Sunday mornings. That's where we were, where we're normally at. Yesterday, I preached the sermon, The Doctrine of Christ, and you'll hear that here coming up on the radio Wednesday and Thursday of this week. But we were in Revelation chapter 8 last week. We're in chapter 9 here today and tomorrow. I've entitled this sermon, Angel Hair, like angel hair pasta. What a horrendous scene we're going to see here today as this bottomless pit is open and these horrible demons are let out of the pit and they're going to well, I won't say anymore. Let's see where the word takes us here today. For more on this radio show and this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net is the website and what we believe about Jesus, because there's nothing more important than that. And that's what my sermon was yesterday, The Doctrine of Christ. What do we believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Because John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. We looked yesterday at what that means. What makes up the doctrine of Christ and the dire warnings of not believing? Like, for instance, you don't believe in the virgin birth, or you don't believe he's the Son of God, or you don't believe he's coming back again, or you don't believe that he died. The dangers of not believing those things, that's where we were at. You'll hear that again on the radio coming up here now. Matter of fact, I'll let this opening play on Tuesday as well, so either Monday or Tuesday. Let's get into the word now. We're in Revelation chapter 9, angel hair, the angel of this bottomless pit, has come down to earth with a key.
This time was already marked out in advance from eternity past. Here's that verse again. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Notice it says they were prepared. Etoimazo is the Greek word. Things you prepare. You prepare a meal. They prepared the Passover. The Lord said he was going to prepare a place for us. Or John the Baptist prepared a people for the Lord. To Jonah the prophet, God prepared a whale. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. He prepared an east wind. Here the Almighty God is preparing and has prepared four angels. Bound in the Euphrates River. I think they're evil angels. I wonder if this is perhaps a punishment for some of the angels who sinned and followed Satan in his fall. The Apostle Peter wrote this. He said, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, perhaps this is some of that. Maybe these angels are just malignant spirits that have been sent here and have been bound all of these years waiting for God to give the call. And this trumpet announces that. Verse 16. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And he says, I heard the number of them. Now, I believe that this is as it says, men, not angel hair demons, okay? 200 million men on horseback, perhaps, unless, of course, a horse here is a symbol for some kind of traveling vehicle he didn't understand. Maybe they were Hummers. I don't know. He saw something perhaps he didn't understand. They were traveling. He called them horsemen. He didn't understand it. But the number is so important that someone had to tell John what the number is. Did you catch that? He said, I heard the number. Someone had to tell him the number because the number was important back then. I read this week, as I was studying for this, the entire world's population in 100 AD was around 150 million people. I also learned in college that this verse right here, along with chapter 11, which we're going to get to probably next week, that this verse right here was the greatest atheist proof text in all of the Bible. That the Bible was not inspired and could not be trusted, and that the Bible had errors and lies in it. You see, the world didn't even have 200 million people. How could 200 million people cross over this river? There's not even that many people in the world. And John says, I heard the number of them. So I put it to you. God did this deliberate act to ward off all unbelievers and call all those people that don't have faith to fall away. Because that's what he does. You don't even need faith to believe that today. You don't need faith to believe that. That there's going to be 200 million people that are going to cross over the Euphrates River where China is now, today, 2024. You don't need faith to believe that. But I'll tell you what, you got a new home down here in hell waiting on this now. Because you heard it. God said it. He said it deliberate. So that everyone that doesn't have faith. Brett, the Lord said, are you also going to turn away from me? Remember, that's John 6:6. Are you also going to turn away? They said, Lord, where will we go? You've got the words of eternal life. He says this deliberate so that everyone that doesn't have faith would say, hasta luego. Listen to this. They asked Jesus one day, they said, why do you speak to these people in parables? And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those that are outside, all things come in parables so that, here comes the reason, so that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and lest their sins be forgiven. And Mark 4:11, church, the one thing that's required of you to gain entry into the kingdom of God is faith. God's calling you to believe him at his word, regardless of if you don't understand it or not. Believe God at his word. If he says 200 million people are going to cross over this river, your call is to believe it, even if you don't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. I don't see it, but I believe it because God said it. It's all there is. God said it, so I believe it. And he does these things deliberately to whittle away everyone out here that's not a genuine believer. He goes, you people follow me because your bellies were full. Jesus will call you front and center, and he will require you to make your very own statement of faith. One day, Jesus said this to a potential follower. He says, you know what, friend? He says, you lack one thing in your life. He said, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. And there it is, or there it was, for this man. Go your way. Sell everything that you have. Give it to the Guatemalans and Mexicans that are coming through the southern border. Uh-oh. Touched a sore note there, huh? It's your choice. And strap your electric chair to that Yugo that you're now driving after you traded in your Mercedes. And come, follow me, he says. What's it worth to you? What's he worth to you? What are you willing to do to follow him? Only you can decide that. Not even 200 million people in the world, and he goes, psst, psst, psst. Hey, John. By the way, there's 200 million of these cats. Now, regarding this man here, we read, he says, but he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And this is why, in my opinion, this number's in the Bible. To ward off all scoffers and agnostics that don't believe God and trust God and believe him at his word. Sooner or later, you're going to face a crisis in your life when God's going to tell you something in your spirit that you don't understand, and he's calling you to believe. He's calling you to believe it, even though you don't see it. Jesus tells us, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Look at that. Same reaction, right? You run into Jesus Christ and you're willing to do anything. You're willing to give up and sell everything that you have in order to follow him. And this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's Jesus worth to you? What's he calling you to believe today, even though you don't see it? These are the things we can get out of this horrendous chapter. This is a horrendous chapter. The good things we can get out of it is God's calling you to believe in his word. And, I mean, there's so many things we could add to that. How about no weapon formed against you will prosper? God's calling you to trust him and believe in his word and leave the results and everything else up to him. Trust God. Trust God. Leave the results up to him. Charles Stanley says that every week. Trust God and leave the results up to him. That's all you got to do. Don't worry. This is not your lot. God has not appointed you to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Angel hair pasta is not your destiny. If you call on the name of the Lord. If you don't, then you're going to have your fill of angel hair pasta. And it won't be al dente either. It'll be mush. Bring on the broccoli. I never thought I'd say that in this church. This church knows I hate broccoli, but I'm ready for a plate of it now. So So telling people in 96 AD that there's 200 million horsemen that are following these angel hair baddies does exactly the same thing that Jesus did, causing people to look within to see whether or not they have the faith to believe and receive in Jesus Christ. Do you? If you have the faith, then believe God at his word. If not, then you do what the rich young ruler did. And that is, you walk away gloomy because you had many possessions. Gloomy because Jesus instructed you to do something you were unwilling to do. Gloomy because of your idol. Gloomy because of your idol. Anything that you're unwilling to do that he calls you to do is an idol for you. For this man, it was money. Is there anything that you're unwilling to do if the Lord told you to do it? By the way, what is Jesus instructing you to do today? What is he instructing you to believe today? Something which you just need to believe by faith without seeing the results. What's he instructing you to believe? Is it a job? Is it a new place to live? Is it a great deliverance from a sin that's been dogging you for years? Is he calling you to just trust in him? Is there trouble all around, Gene? Trust in God, and he will see us through whatever it is that you're going through. Even though you don't see it, once you see it, it's too late. You got to trust him now when you can't see. Once you see him, it's too late. Listen to this. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Write that down and take it to the bank. If you have called on the name of the Lord, none of this is your line. This is not your destiny if you've called on the name of the Lord. Now let's wrap up the end of this chapter in this chilling text here. Verse 20. It says, but the rest of mankind, everyone with me? Revelation 9:20. Understand, when I get to the word sorcery, it's the Greek word pharmakia. I see a whole bunch of Mr. Spocks in here. I just saw 87 eyebrows go up. The word means pharmaceutical drugs. I think John wrote it, back in John's day, indeed, it probably meant throwing the eye of Newt into a bubbling cauldron. You're my pretty. But the word means pharmaceutical drugs. The one thing Satan's doing out here today more than anything is he's pumping this world and all of its people full of pharmaceutical drugs. Now, when I read the word sorcery, remember, it's not eye of Newt. It's pharmaceutical drugs. Remember that when I get to the word sorcery. Now, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, that is, if you escape, by golly, I don't know how you escaped it, but you escape out of this trouble only to end up over here. The rest of mankind, notice how you're not there. This is not your lot. Remember Revelation 13:8, it said, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. That's not your lot. That's Antichrist. That's not Jesus we're talking about. All right. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, that is, by this angel hair running around, stinging people for 5 months. People can't die. People dying to die, wishing they could dream about, imagining about, thinking about dying. The rest of man, let's try for a fifth time to read this verse. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, they did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their, there's the word. Let's change that word there to pharmaceutical drugs. They did not repent of their murders or their pharmaceutical drugs or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Let me encourage you, if you're on pharmaceutical drugs because you can't sleep, why don't you try reading your Bible? Makes you fall asleep anytime. Isn't that funny? You can read War and Peace, 900 pages, you don't fall asleep. Open up your Bible at 9 o'clock at night, you're sawing wind. Open up the Word. Open up the Word. Open up your Bible. This was one of the greatest revelations I have ever had as a Christian in my entire life. Few times I can count on one hand. My sermons notwithstanding, that happens to me every week. Few times I can count on one hand when God has shattered my world by speaking something to me. Not audibly, but, and this is what he said. It says they do not repent of their murders or their pharmaceutical drugs or their sexual immorality. I didn't even ask for it. And God said to me, they don't repent because they can't. They don't repent because they can't. All right, whoa, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked that. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That means to hold it down. Like trying to hold down a lid on a pot of boiling water or a pressure cooker. You know the truth. It's not that you're ignorant, you don't know it, but you suppress the truth and unrighteous. You know what the truth is, and you're gonna la, 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 la. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them. You know the truth right here in your heart. God has manifested in you, not just to you. He's given it in you. You know in your heart what the truth is. He's given it to you. It's in your heart. You know all this world's not an accident. You know it. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, his handiwork. You know it in your heart. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Now this is book, chapter, and verse to prove what I just said to you. People don't repent at this stage because they cannot repent. You are already at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I just read to you. You're not on earth during this. You're celebrating with the King of Glory right now. Prior to the end of the tribute, you're not here. You're up there. He's given you the promise to everyone out here who overcomes. I will grant you to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Heavenly Father on his throne. That's where you are. Not here. This is not your destiny. Yours is everlasting life and salvation. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God. This is like going to Macy's on December 26th, and you're exchanging that fruitcake that your grandmother gave you. You're going to cash in. And what are you cashing in on? This truth that you've got in here. You know it. You've known it all along. You're going to exchange. I like to exchange this, madam. You're going to exchange the truth of the Word of God for what he calls the lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, I'll leave you with this thought here today. One day in the 1700s, a preacher named Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That sermon transformed this country. It shook people to their very core. So yes, fear as well as love. It's all right to come to Christ because you fear the tribulation. Many people have received Christ because of fear. Some out of love, some out of fear. You don't want to go here. So it's okay to receive the Lord Jesus this way. Fear is a great motivator. When he preached this sermon, it changed the entire country. This is why liquor stores were closed on Sunday. It's because of Jonathan Edwards. Because he preached this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, it convicted it. That word spread throughout the whole country and made the United States what it is today because of this sermon. And then people feared God. And they changed. So yes, fear God as well as love is a great motivator. You don't want to be a part of this. Now, I leave you with these words, Luke 21:36. The Lord says, pray once in a while that you... pray always? Pray always? Isn't that funny? I bet if I just pray today, I'm kind of worthy. Why should I need to pray tomorrow? That I'm kind of... Do what he says. Even if you don't understand it. Pray always. That means pray tomorrow, you'll be counted worthy to escape. Pray on Tuesday. He's not going to say, man, oh man, why do you keep praying that, Luann? He says, pray always. So we pray always that we will be counted worthy to escape all of these things. How can we be counted worthy? That's to put on him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. That's the only way. It's for when God to see us, he sees him. That's the only way to be counted worthy, because he is worthy and he makes us worthy. And this, James chapter 1, verse 3. It says, the testing of your faith develops endurance. Hupomone is the Greek word. Strength. It's what gives you the strength to say no to all this evil out here in the world. The testing of your faith is what does that. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.